Hello and welcome to the National Audit Office podcast. The NAO has just published a report on ambulance services in England. There are 10 regionally based ambulance services which provide urgent and emergency healthcare, as well as patient transport services, with separate arrangements for the Isle of Wight. In 2014-15, these services cost £2.1 billion and demand for services continues to rise. In 2014-15, there were 9 million emergency calls to the ambulance service, compared to 8.5 million in 2013-14. I'm joined by Robert White, the director who worked on the report. Robert, thank you very much for joining us. I wonder if we could start by going through what your report covers.
Well, the report mainly focuses on urgent and emergency services provided by the 10 regionally based ambulance trusts. It provides an update on our report that we did in 2011, but particularly it looks at the challenges faced by the ambulance service, the performance of those services since we last reported, and the contributions that the ambulance service is making to the overall sustainability of the health sector.
And what does your report say?
Well, we've made a number of observations and findings. I would say the most significant of those is just the way that demand for services is behaving. Over a period of about 6 years, we've seen average demand go up by 5.2% per year. And just to put that in perspective, that's 10.7 million calls in any given year to the ambulance service. Our report, as I said, covers urgent and emergency services, so there were 9.4 million of those contacts and 1.3 million transfers from the NHS 111 service. The other thing that we observed is that the funding has not kept pace with the way that costs have risen. So income for ambulance trusts over a four-year period rose by 16% and costs increased by 30%. So they're under quite significant pressure. We also found that many ambulance trusts are struggling to recruit and retain the staff they need. And one of the most significant findings was the delays turnaround at hospitals. Perhaps I can just explain this briefly. There are some standards in place to make sure that patients are safely and efficiently moved from ambulances to the safety of hospitals. And the expectation is that as the ambulance crews arrive, that they will move the patient into the hospital within 15 minutes. And then there is a further another 15 minutes for the crews to prepare the ambulance for its next call. So in total, a half an hour. One of the things that is monitored is where there are delays and time taken in excess of that 30-minute period. And we found in our report that there were 500,000 hours lost due to these turnaround delays at accident and emergency departments.
How are ambulance trusts performing?
Well, a number of trusts are struggling to meet current response times. Listeners may be familiar with some of these targets and standards. The most well-known of these is what's called the 8-minute standard. That is an expectation that where there's a life-threatening incident, that an ambulance will attend the scene within 8 minutes. Those are called red calls, and they're split into two categories. There's red one, where someone may have suffered a cardiac arrest or have breathing difficulties, or there's no pulse that can be found. And red two calls, where that might involve a heart attack or stroke. Now, together, those two indicators should be responded to within 8 minutes in 75% of the time. There's then a second standard, which is commonly referred to as the 19-minute standard. So if it is decided that a patient needs to be conveyed to a hospital, then a vehicle must be there within 19 minutes that's capable of conveying that patient. So those are the two kind of headline standards. And increasingly over the last few years, trusts are failing to meet those standards. And there was only one of the 10 trusts in 2015-16 that met those standards.
How sustainable is the current system?
Well, we do other reports into the health service, and we're observing that many trusts, not just ambulance trusts, are in significant financial difficulty. And what happens there is that then keeps them from developing new models of care. One of the things that the ambulance service is trying to do is to change the way that it operates and take fewer people to hospital if they can avoid it. They've introduced new programs such as Hear and Treat. That's where issues are resolved over the phone. See and Treat, where people are attended to either in their homes or by the roadside or place of work, but then not conveyed to hospital. Or a third way is taking patients to a site that isn't a hospital. So there might be day centers and other facilities. So they have ideas, and they have been making inroads into introducing new models of care. But the high vacancy levels, the constant financial pressure, and the lack of availability of some of these alternative venues that they could go to, coupled with those delayed turnarounds at the front of the accident and emergency departments, means that at present we're quite concerned at what we see. And this is why we've got some recommendations in the report.
And what were these recommendations?
Well, one of the things that we've observed is that there's great variation between all of the hospitals. There's variation in terms of sickness levels, in some of those response time targets that we talked about, and also the way that they're set up, the way they use their estate, the way they use their vehicles, and the type of vehicles and the systems they use to respond. So we're encouraging through our recommendations that some work is put into trying to identify an optimal operating framework for the ambulance trust to use, for the commissioners to also use when they sit down and agree funding and standards and outcomes. And we think that by introducing an optimal framework, that you'll see some of that variation removed. We also think there needs to be more done for updating how trusts are measured. There is work underway in the ambulance response program that moves away from just concentrating on targets and looking at the most appropriate response. Because in many instances, the ambulances are dispatching crews, and if it's one of those red calls that I described, they want to get a crew to the patient as quickly as possible. There are other conditions where if you take some more time to work out what the needs of the patient are, you will send a more appropriate response, and that could be an ambulance, it could be a rapid response motorcycle, paramedic. But the whole point is that you take some time up front rather than starting the clock immediately. We're just saying they need to work through and clarify what those arrangements are and publish a lot of those metrics so that trusts can compare against one another and improve that way. We think more needs to be done to tackle those rising delays in transferring patients from ambulances and into hospital. We also think that the clinical commissioning group should understand more about what is preventing trusts from maximizing some of the new models of care. So those things that I described, the see and treat, hear and treat, and conveying to alternative sites. And then lastly, there's a great deal of work being put into what are called the sustainability and transformation plans across England. Those are the plans for health and social care for the next 2 years. We're encouraging NHS England to review how the urgent and emergency care review, which it initiated, fits into some of those other plans. So that is a bit of a technical way of saying you need to cut through a lot of the kind of jargon and the planning environment to make it clear where ambulances sit in that plan.
Thank you very much for your time, Robert. It sounds like there's still quite a lot of work to do. If you would like to find out more about this report, the full report and an executive summary are available on our website, www.nao.org.uk. Or you can follow us on Twitter at naoorguk. Or on Facebook, www.facebook.com/naoorguk. Thank you for listening.